So glad you're here. This is Josh Wagner. I'll show myself here in just a second, but this is going to be a great presentation, Power Words to Hypnotize Anyone. And whether you're brand new to hypnosis and this is the first thing you've ever looked at, or you've been in the around the block for a while, this is going to be a great presentation to help you to realize the power of very small words can really make an impact on how you can influence people. So my name is Joshua Wagner. I'll tell you about myself here in a second, but I've been a hypnotherapist for 4 years. I love what I do for a living. It's the most fun and exciting thing I've ever done in my entire life. I get to watch miracles happen on a daily basis. And it is really fantastic to meet up with so many interesting people, to watch them go from this really terrible place in their life oftentimes to really great, even sometimes within an hour. And hypnotherapy is really, really powerful. Now, I have been stage trained, so I know how to do hypnosis on a stage, but that's not what I do. I typically help people with all sorts of things. And I have just witnessed the power of hypnotherapy over the years. And I continue to be absolutely surprised and baffled and endeared to the entire process. It's the closest thing to magic you're going to find on earth. So here's who I am. I've been a practicing hypnotherapist for 4 years. I got my certification through the Mike Mandel Hypnosis Academy, which is out of the University of Toronto. I've worked with hundreds of clients in those 4 years, and I certify others in hypnosis as well. So if you're interested in starting a career, not only can I hypnotize you, of course, not only can I certify you in hypnosis, but I also have a background in marketing. I was a marketing executive for many, many years, and amongst many other things. So I can help you set up that business if that is something that is interesting to you. But that being said, I think that let's just get started. So I'm going to assume that you don't know anything about hypnosis. This is going to go really fast. It's going to go about 20 minutes here, 20, 25 minutes. And the first thing I want to talk about is the conscious versus the unconscious mind. We're going to get a couple of basics in case you have no idea what hypnosis is all about. And I'm going to put myself in the lower part of the screen here. So if you've never experienced what hypnosis is or know anything about it, I'm just going to give you just a couple of moments of background is what it is. So hypnosis is this. It's there's two parts of the mind. There's the conscious and the unconscious mind. The conscious part of our mind is where we're aware of what we can control. It handles logical thinking, decision making, and analyzing information. As I tell my students, the logical, linear, and linguistic part of your brain. It's the kind of newer part of your brain. It's this part right up here in the front. And then the unconscious mind, which is about 95% of what we do, from our heartbeats to our breathing to our kidneys working to the bad habits that you have or the good habits that you have. This is the part of your mind that operates automatically. It's a majority of our brain. And it's not really within our direct awareness. And it stores memories, emotions, habits, it manages bodily functions. The unconscious mind influences your behavior and beliefs, and you don't even realize it. Some experts say, like Dr. Bruce Lipton, who's done fMRI scans of people, say that 95% of what you do is unconscious. And I like to tell my hypnosis students that this one where the conscious mind is logical, linear, linguistic, this mind talks in a whole different language, which is emotions, associations, which means that you associate one thing with another, even if they're not logically connected, and metaphors, which are stories. It tells you stories, and it's experiences that allows you to do that. So hypnosis is conversation with the unconscious mind. And so let's just look at that a little differently. Hypnosis is really a kind of focus. So there's nothing magical about hypnosis. A lot of people think that there is. The results are magical, but hypnosis itself is not all that magical. It's just a cognitive process that utilizes the way that the brain, for most people, is actually set up. It's a state of focus where the analytical part of your brain is bypassed. That's really, really important. The analytical part that judges, it's logical, it's linear. Your unconscious mind's not logical or linear, right? And so hypnosis kind of puts that part to the side, the part that says, you know, kind of in a movie, oh, that would never happen. The part that has to go kind of to the side when you hear a story. in order for you to enjoy and understand the story without criticizing it. The same thing happens in hypnosis, is that you focus, but that part that judges and analyzes and evaluates is kind of quieted down for a little bit. And in this focus, in this state, individuals are deeply focused. It's making them more open to suggestions. So where you put your focus, if you watch a bunch of sad movies, you're going to feel sad more than likely. If you are focused on how bad your life is, you're going to feel terrible. If your focus is on how great things are, how grateful you are, that's also going to affect how you feel. So what you focus on determines sort of what you take in and how that sort of changes your feelings. And so you're bypassing all of this critical part, the analyzing part, the conscious mind. It's temporarily bypassed. It's never completely offline, but it can be really offline for some people, and allows direct communication with the unconscious mind. And this focus creates emotions, and likewise, emotions create focus. If you're sad and that's all you can feel, you're going to be hyper-focused on that, and you're going to see everything through the lens of being sad. So where you put your focus, consciously and unconsciously, is going to determine what makes how you feel, what you do, what you believe, how you experience life. So hypnosis is really powerful. It's the deliberate refocusing of your mind or someone else's mind. And so you can change focus through hypnosis. Real hypnosis involves guiding someone to change their focus. Now, this is really important. If you can start to change somebody's focus, you can start to change their experience. So I want you to think of like a magician. Like a magician makes you look over here while he's doing something over here. Where you put your focus changes your experience. Whereas if you were standing behind the magician, you would see a completely different show than the people out in the crowd. Where you put your focus determines your experience. If all I can do is focus on how great somebody is and I don't see any of their flaws, I might actually get suckered into believing them. Where you put your focus determines your experience. So in hypnosis, you can change focus through specific techniques. Individuals can shift their focus away from the conscious mind's usual patterns or the unconscious mind's usual patterns. So when you shift your focus, you shift your experience, you shift your emotional state, you learn something really fast, and you can make all sorts of changes deep down in the brain. It's really powerful because once you get that analytical part out of the way and you start to make those changes on the deeper level, those changes happen fast and they happen permanently because you're having an experience. And that's the third part, is you're experiencing something new. People are not convinced. People are not changed by logic or talking through things. They just aren't. That's why we love debates. People are changed through having an experience. A brand new experience will change somebody. If you've never experienced touching a hot stove and you touch that hot stove, all of a sudden you're going to have a brand new insight about how stoves work, right? Even if somebody tells you that the stove is hot, there's something about experiencing the stove that makes that experience way differently. So once you can explore new perspectives, emotions, behaviors, you can facilitate the change. So that is hypnosis, but that is a very brief thing about hypnosis. We want to change people's focus. If you change their focus, you change their experience, you change their emotional state, you change what direction they're going. Just like this dude's doing here with his girlfriend. He's pointing something out, which is changing her focus, which is changing her attitude, making her smile, whatever that is that they're pointing at. You can do the same thing with these words. So we're going to get into the power words now. So the ebook that goes along with this, go ahead and take a look at that, and it'll have more about what hypnosis is and isn't. But power words can do this. It can change focus. The power words can redirect somebody's focus from their conscious thoughts to their unconscious mind, bypassing the critical and analytical part of the brain. And this can have an emotional impact. By engaging the emotions, power words create a deeper connection and make suggestions more effective, facilitating the change and new experiences. People change because of experiences. People don't change because of logic. There's a great book by Gerald McCraney named Changing, called Changing Minds. And he goes all through the neuroscience of how people change their opinions from being flat earthers to being round earthers. And it's not logic. It's experiencing something different because you can't out-logic people. In fact, there's lots of studies that show the more you try to out-logic somebody, the more grounded they get into their current belief. But if you can have them experience something differently, that's going to make a profound change. Experience changes people far more than logic. And the thing is about these power words, they are just words. They're words that you're going to use in everyday language. In fact, they're very small words. They're little particles of words that you use in everyday language. But you're going to learn to use them to redirect somebody's attention and focus, oftentimes without them knowing what's happening. So let's get into the first power word. Why? I think, and I tell my students this, why is the most powerful word in hypnosis? And that's what I'm talking about. It is a normal word. It can amplify or reinforce feelings or thoughts. And so I use it in hypnosis to reinforce positive outcomes. Let me give you an example. If I say to somebody, why are you so upset? They're going to start listing off all the reasons why they're upset. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. I stepped on the dog. I wrecked my car. I spilled coffee on my lap. If you ask somebody why, their brain is going to automatically start to answer that question, which is going to reinforce whatever you ask of the why. Why didn't you like that movie? Oh, it's terrible. And they're going to laundry list a bunch of terrible things. Well, at the end of a hypnosis session, or when I want somebody to do something, I want to amplify something that they're already doing, I ask why in the opposite direction. If somebody's feeling good at the end of a session, I'll say something like, why do you think you feel so good? Now their brain is reinforcing why they feel so good. They're going to give you a bunch of, well, I'm thinking positively. I feel good in my body. My heart rate is down. All these positive things are going to happen. So why is the most powerful word in the English language? I love using the word why. I'm very careful about the word why. So if somebody comes up to me and they're mad and I go, why are you so mad? They're going to get even madder. But if we calm the situation, I say, well, hey, it seems like you're feeling better. Why do you think you're feeling better? Now they're going to start giving me a list of positives. So you have to be really careful, really strategic. In fact, if you learn nothing else from this course, learn how to properly use the word why, because it is absolutely one of the most powerful words. And I use it all the time very properly. And you'll start to notice how people misuse it and actually can make things worse. Because people will come into my sessions and they'll say, why am I so angry? And I'm like, I don't want to know why you're so angry, because you're just going to reinforce the anger. Why do you want to let go of your anger? And now the conversation focus is going in an entirely different direction. I could spend a whole hour talking about why. Check out the ebook that I'm accompanying with this course, and you can dive a little bit more deeply into it. Try is a really powerful word as well. So it implies failure. So let me give you an example. There's a difference between somebody saying, I'm going to be there Friday at 8 o'clock versus I'll try to be there Friday at 8 o'clock. To hear how those two sentences are really different, maybe that second person's going to come, maybe they won't. And Yoda said it best, do or do not, there is no try. Try is a word that implies within it failure. Let's say somebody stood you up on a date. Well, I tried to get there, but the traffic was terrible. So if you want somebody to fail at something, tell them to try to do it. I know that seems so backwards, but this is why these little words are powerful words, because you can change the whole course of something. So in a typical hypnosis session, I'm not going to teach you how to do a bunch of stuff, but in a typical hypnosis session, if I want somebody to relax, I will tell them to close their eyes and relax all the way down. I do more than that, but let's just say I tell them to relax and I do some inductions and I tell them to go all the way down. And then I'll say something to them like, try and open your eyes. Now, about 75% of people will start to do this kind of thing where their eyes are like stuck together. And I'll say, pretend your eyes are stuck together and try to open them. The harder you try, the more difficult it will become. Try to the unconscious mind implies failure. So I want you to, so when people like on the street hypnosis and the stage hypnosis get people to forget their names, it's try to remember your name, try to remember your name. And if they do it the right way, that's obviously not going to work on a conscious level. But if they get them into hypnosis and then they tell them to try to do something, it's likely they're going to fail. So try and listen to it in your daily speech now. How many people use the word try? I'll try to be there. I tried my best. I tried and I failed. So the word try is another really powerful word. The next one is the word because. So it's used to justify and provide reasoning, often reinforcing the importance of an action or a feeling. They did a study of people at a copy machine in a university, and they told somebody to try to cut in line without saying anything, and of course they failed. And then they sent somebody in and said, tell them the word because, that the reason that I need to cut into line is because I need to make copies. About 80% of the time, they let them cut, even though everybody was there just to make copies. Because justify something. We really don't hear what happens beforehand. All we hear is the explanation, and our brain loves to close the loop and get that explanation. So it's good for embedded commands. What's an embedded command? It's that's another course, but it's good for an embedded command. I want you to feel calm. I want you to feel calm because you can relax now. So that's called an embedded command. That's not what this course is about, but if you become my student, I'll teach you what an embedded command is. It's a secret command that you sneak into a sentence. So it's used to justify, and the brain loves the justification. And a lot of times, no matter what comes before or after the because, you can justify it using this magic word. So stop, start is really an important, there are two words here, stop and start. And I put a stoplight there because it's really what it is. It's a command to interrupt patterns and behaviors. So if somebody's talking about how bad they feel and how horrible they feel, I'll look at them and I'll say, stop. I'll use them all together right here. I'll say, stop. How do you want to feel? How do you want to start to feel? I want to start to feel good. I want to start to feel fine. I want to start to feel better. Why do you want to start to feel better? Boom. Just in those little words, all of a sudden, the whole conversation has shifted. Hypnosis is not about these giant concepts and giant words. It is about shifting focus subtly, one little tiny piece at a time, so that a person goes from, oh, I'm in terrible shape, I'm feeling terrible. You stop that and you start them on a different path. So start and stop actually have this ability to do this. The other thing is I replace the word no or can't or shouldn't or won't. I replace all my no words with stop. And the reason that is because your unconscious mind doesn't hear no's. Doesn't hear don't feel bad. All it hears is feel bad. You shouldn't feel bad right now. All it hears is feel bad right now. I won't do that, which means you probably will do that, right? So replace all of your won'ts, can'ts, shouldn'ts for things that people want to stop, including in your own life, and you with the word stop. And it's really far more effective because the word stop means something different to the unconscious mind than can't, shouldn't, won't, or any other of the no words. So stop what you want to stop doing and start what you want to start doing, and then ask somebody the word why they want to start doing that thing. It's amazing what will happen. You'll see their demeanor changing because you've sent them into a whole different set of emotional experiences by changing their focus. And I know this seems like a really, again, these are tiny words, but they're so powerful. It's a conjunction that can create a sense of continuity and flow, linking ideas and reinforcing a narrative. Remember what I said to you before is that the unconscious mind speaks in metaphors, which are stories, associations, this means this, which doesn't necessarily mean it's true. He looked at me funny and that means he doesn't like me. That is, maybe he was thinking about something else and you walked into his path. But we love to link these things together. So what and does is it can link two ideas together and create what we call in hypnosis pseudo-logic. Pseudo-logic is when you associate two things that aren't necessarily associated together. Sit in that chair and relax. Close your eyes and go into hypnosis. Think about your high school days and be curious about why it's raining. That's a dumb one right there. But you can link two things together that don't necessarily go together. Walk through the door and find the red book. Go through the door and you'll find a sense of peace and calm. Sit in that chair and you'll feel better. Now, these are not necessarily connected, but the and connects two ideas that are not necessarily connected together. It's also really good for run-on sentences because you can go and. And when you learn to hypnotize somebody using all the techniques, this is just one way to do it. The run-on sentences that you make are actually really powerful ways to get somebody to go into a trance. And then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And is a great way to create a run-on sentence. And as, so this is putting the two, putting and as together. It's used to pace the reality of the subject. And as you are sitting there listening to me teach you about the power words, you're wondering how far you're going to take this, who you're going to use this on. Again, that's not necessarily true. I'm describing something, and as you're listening to the sound of my voice, and then adding my own thought onto what's actually happening, you can start to imagine how you're going to use these power words on your friends and family to get what you want. So then you can take them from where they are, and as you are doing X, then you can do Y, even if X and Y have nothing to do with each other. And as you're sitting there listening to my voice, you can start to imagine how you can use this in your own daily life. And as you're listening to me, you can think of how good you feel. So, and as describes what they're currently doing. And then the second part is the shift in focus for them to go in the new direction. But is a word that contrasts and negates the previous statement used to shift perspectives and introduce new ideas. Put negative things before but and positives after but. The conscious mind will not hear the stuff before the but. The unconscious mind will hear the stuff before the but. Some people find hypnosis hard, but for you it can seem easy. You can also be like, you can go deeply into hypnosis, but don't go too fast. You hear I did don't right there? So your brain hears go too fast. You can go into hypnosis, but don't go too deeply. So the brain, the conscious mind hears that don't go too deeply, but the unconscious mind hears go into hypnosis. So but is a really powerful one. Also, people use this the wrong way because they negate themselves all the time. But whatever comes before the but gets negated consciously, but heard by the unconscious. And whatever comes after the but is heard consciously and unconsciously at the same time. So again, if you're pointing out negatives, if you want to move somebody away from a negative situation, listen, I know that you're feeling bad right now, but you can start to feel better. That's another, what we call a pacing statement. You're describing what they're doing, which is not so good, but negating it, you can go this direction instead. Again, the whole thing about power words is how do you use these little hinges to shift the direction of the people that you're talking to? Or is a powerful statement that forces a person into making a limited choice. So most people, when they're given a choice between this or that, will choose one of the two options you just gave them and will not think outside of the box. So present your choice in a way that whatever they choose is the thing that you want them to do. So you can either relax or you can just close your eyes. I don't care if they relax or if they close their eyes or if they do both, right? Because either one of those things is an outcome. You can buy me dinner now, or you can buy me dinner later. All I care about is they buy me dinner. We can go to either McDonald's or Taco Bell. Now, if you give somebody a choice between like McDonald's or Taco Bell, they're probably going to choose either McDonald's or Taco Bell. They're probably, most people, now sometimes people do this, but most people are not going to choose another option. If you give somebody the choice between McDonald's and Taco Bell, they're not going to say Pizza Hut. They're probably going to choose between Taco Bell and McDonald's. You can do a third or. We'll go to McDonald's, or we can go to Taco Bell, or we can go to Pizza Hut. But their choices will be limited to those three things. So if you want to give somebody the illusion of choice, you use the word or, and you make sure that the two choices you give them are choices that you're fine with either way. You can either say I'm handsome, or you can say I'm smart. Which would you like to choose? Now, that's an obvious one. They're probably going to make fun of you for that one. But if you embed it a little bit more subtly, you can say you can either go into hypnosis right now, or you can just close your eyes and relax. It doesn't matter which one they do, because either one is the outcome that you want. That means is a giant equal sign, okay? So this is another pseudo-logic sign. Pseudo-logic, again, is connecting two ideas. By association. So the phrase can be used to create that pseudo logic or the hypnotic logic, and you're creating an association. The association doesn't have to be logical when a person is in a trance. The unconscious mind creates associations of non-related things all the time. So we're out of cereal, and that means we're not going to eat tonight. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that. But your unconscious mind begins to associate those two things together. You've come to see it. I'll give you one right now. You're taking a training on basic hypnosis principles right now. That means you want to be a hypnotist. You're learning from me right now. That means you want to become my full-time permanent student. That is a way to use that means. It's a giant equal sign. The sun comes up today. That means the earth has another 1,000 years on earth. You don't know what that's going to be. But that means is a big equal sign. And the two sides of the equal sign for the unconscious mind. Now, once you got somebody in logical, linear, linguistic mode, conscious mind, it has to be equal on both sides. But for the unconscious mind, the two sides of the equations do not have to be balanced. He looks red in the face. That means he was drinking. Well, that doesn't mean that. Maybe he's having a heart attack. Maybe he's just red in the face all the time, right? But it'll start to form. It starts to move the conscious mind to refocus on equating these two things. Just makes things really simple to the mind. Just close your eyes and relax. Just breathe as we see here on this. I'm covering part of it right now. Just breathe as we see on the sand right now. Just let go. Just imagine that day that you were on the beach so many years ago. Just imagine the surf coming in. So just in front of a sentence makes it create a command. Just let go. Just relax. It makes it easy to the mind. It makes it so that whatever you're telling the unconscious mind to do, it's absolutely easy for it to do that. Just close your eyes and just breathe and just relax. Now, the third one may not have been easy, as easy as the first two, but it's easy to close their eyes. It's easy for them to breathe. And when you make the first two things easy, the third thing you tell them is also going to be easier. So you set them up. You can say, just relax, just close your eyes, just let go, and just relax all the way down. Just feel it all the way through your body. I use the word just a lot in when I do hypnotherapy with people, conversationally or formally. Just let yourself go. Pretend. This is a really good one. It encourages the subject to engage their imagination and suspend disbelief, making it easier to accept suggestions. They will almost instantly forget that they're pretending. For instance, pretend you're confident. Pretend your eyes are glued shut. Now, these are not great examples. A few years ago when I was learning this, I went up to somebody in a bar just to experiment with this. And I went up to them and I said, I know you don't know who I am, but I want you to pretend that we're long lost friends. And the next time that I walk past, you're going to be just pretend you're super excited to see me. And they said, okay. So I walked past and I was like, oh my gosh. And like, oh my gosh, they pretended. And all of a sudden we stopped pretending and we just were very friendly with each other. All of a sudden we felt like we were connected. In fact, I have followed up with those people years later and I'm still friends with them because we pretended. Pretend that you already feel better right now. Pretend that you're relaxing. Pretend that you're going into hypnosis. Pretend that you're falling asleep. By the way, if you can't sleep at night, pretending you're falling asleep, pretending you're faking falling asleep, like you're faking it for somebody else, all of a sudden you'll forget, your brain forgets that you're pretending and it actually happens. So you can say, pretend that you're already better. What does that feel like? And when you're doing therapy work, for them to pretend that they're already better and to imagine what that's like, that's really good hypnosis because again, you are changing their focus. You're giving them a new experience. You're changing their emotional state when you do that. Imagine. So same kind of thing was pretend. Imagine it invites the subject to visualize scenarios, enhancing their sensory experiences and emotional responses. For example, imagine yourself feeling completely at ease. They don't have to feel at ease, but if you have them imagine that, imagine what it's like to be relaxed. Imagine what it's like to be on the beach somewhere. How does that feel when you imagine that you're on the beach somewhere? Again, the whole point of what we're talking about here is using these tiny words to redirect their mind, refocus their mind to have an internal experience, to have that create some kind of an emotion, which is going to change the physiology of not only the brain, but also the rest of the body. Notice directs the cooperator or the subject's attention away from something in a subtle way. Just notice that feeling in your body. Now, this is being kind of vague. I don't know what that new sensation in your body is. If I say, just notice that new sensation in your body, as you're listening to me talk, just notice that new sensation in your body. I don't know what that means, but when I say that, your brain is going to start looking for a new sensation in your body. So you've redirected their focus, you've redirected their experience, and you're redirecting their emotions. Just notice that relaxed feeling. Just notice in your body where you feel the most relaxed. Now, I don't know what that means because they may not feel relaxed at all, but now their brain's going to go looking for something that's relaxed in their body, which means you've changed their focus experience and their emotional state. Since creates a presupposition. A presupposition is the assumption that something has happened, will happen, is happening right now, that something has already happened in the past. Since you're here, you must want to get better. Since you have arrived, that means you're ready to get to work. Since you're watching this, that means you want to become a hypnosis student. Now, silence my things when I start to record things, right? Yet and when. So these words create another kind of presupposition. Yet and when implies that it hasn't happened yet, but it will. So don't go into hypnosis yet. Don't go into hypnosis yet. Implies that you haven't gone into hypnosis, but you're about to. Or you can say, when you go into hypnosis, you will feel so much better. Now, this is different from if, and I often say that you should replace the word when it with if you want somebody to do something. When you're feeling better, how do you think you're going to feel? When you're feeling better and you are more relaxed, there, I just put the and in there. When do you think you're going to leave? I'm just making that one up there. When you go into hypnosis, you will feel so much better. The implication is that you will eventually go into hypnosis. When you are free of all of this anxiety and you are feeling more confident, imagine how good that's going to feel. You see, these little words all of a sudden are taking a person into a whole new focus, experience, and emotion. So, more is an amplifier. To tell somebody to do something even more is to tell them to increase the intensity. Go into that even more. Tell me more about that. It can also create a pseudo logic. The more you close your eyes, the more you will feel relaxed. Now, those two things are not necessarily true. Some people close their eyes and they're not more relaxed. But when you give this instruction, you're connecting two things that aren't necessarily connected. The more you close your eyes, the more you will feel relaxed. The more you go on with this training, the more you're going to want to take more hypnosis classes. There you go. How's that for a little bit of logic? In a moment. So this is a use to set up an expectation. So it's important. My first teacher told me that you in hypnosis, you set expectations, then you fulfill the expectations, right? So you want to say it sort of telegraphs what you're going to say next. And it prepares the subject for a specific action or change, often creating anticipation and focus. So for instance, in a moment, you will feel a wave of relaxation. In a moment, I'm going to tell you to close your eyes. In a moment, I'm going to tell you to put your hand in the air. In a moment, I'm going to tell you to feel itchy all over your body. Whatever that in a moment is, but the important thing is that whatever you say in a moment you're going to do, you have to do it exactly the way that you told them. I had a student once, she said, in a moment, I'm going to count from 10 to 1, and you're going to feel relaxed. 5, 4, 3, 2. So, right there, she violated that rule because she said 10, and then she started counting down from 5. So, whatever you set up with in a moment, you have to do exactly the way. And the nice thing about in a moment is it's a mini hypnosis. It's a mini, what we call pre-talk. It's a mini hypnosis where if I say, in a moment, I'm going to have you close your eyes, already in your mind, you're like, well, I know what that means. Like unconsciously, your mind is like, well, I know what that means. I know what it means to close my eyes. You're already kind of quietly and secretly going there. So it's a little mini hypnosis, and then you do the big hypnosis. So for instance, in a moment, I'm going to tell you to close your eyes, and you can close your eyes and feel good. Ready? Go ahead and close your eyes now. So in a moment, I'm going to tell you to close your eyes. Go ahead and close your eyes. There's kind of double hypnosis going on there because in order for you to understand in a moment, I'm going to tell you to close your eyes, your brain already kind of has to go there. Now. Now means that you want them to do it at this moment. It can be direct or indirect. Close your eyes now. So it's kind of a little bit of an interrupt. It kind of interrupts the pattern a little bit. And it forces them to sort of it shocks them into doing what you tell them to do. And you can do a little bit more subtly and indirect. Now you can close your eyes. You can close your eyes now. Now you can close your eyes. You want to hit that word just a little hard. Now you can close your eyes. You can close your eyes now. And they'll do it 9 times out of 10 right then and there. If you have rapport with them, if they're not resisting you, which I can't teach you how to do that here, but if you become my student, that's something I will. Isn't it? This is a cool thing. It's called a tag question. It reinforces the concept. It's funny how relaxed you can be if you want to be relaxed, isn't it? And you can change this with a couple of different things, but that isn't it reinforces the thing that happens before it. It's funny how much you want to become a hypnosis student, isn't it? You could become a hypnosis student right now if you wanted to, can't you? You won't, you know, you can learn hypnosis really well and start your own business, won't you? Or you can say, is it not? This is very interesting, is it not? How these little words can start to reinforce and direct someone's attention. So this is a reinforcing concept, a little bit more like along the lines of why. But it's a rhetorical question that forces somebody into reinforcing the thing that you just said. It's funny how relaxed you can be if you want to be relaxed, isn't it? So the isn't it kind of pulls the attention away from the main sentence, but the unconscious mind hears the entire thing. It's like, yeah, of course. Interesting. And then this is the last one. This is the last one. This is kind of a famous one with all hypnotists. That's right is a phrase that is that Milton Erickson commonly used. Milton Erickson is the father of modern hypnosis. He died in the 70s. Conversational hypnosis. This is where all this comes from. He was adept at this. You should really look at what he's doing. That's right is a pacing statement. And a pacing statement confirms whatever experience they're having. So even if you're, so if I say you're sitting here listening to the sound of my voice teaching you about all of these power words, that's a pacing statement. I'm just describing what you're doing. And when you do a pacing statement, the brain goes, okay, that's right, that's true. And it puts more trust in the person that said it. As you're listening to the sound of my voice, as you're watching me do these power words, you can start to imagine exactly what you can do with them. So that's right. Is a pacing statement. It just tells them that whatever you're doing is the right thing. And you can be really vague about this. It also assures the conscious mind that the cooperator or the subject is doing the right thing. If they're deep in trance, or you're not going to be putting people in deep trances with this stuff, but you're going to be able to redirect their conscious mind and their unconscious mind. If you're looking down the road and you'll be like, wow, isn't that crazy? Well, you just look down the road and you can feel great. Yeah, that's right. That's a great way to do it. It's a kind of a reinforcer as to what's going on and a reassurance to the conscious and the unconscious mind that it's doing the right thing. So that is those are the power words. I know I went kind of quickly through this, but you are more than welcome to read the ebook that comes along with this. It's really pretty fascinating. It went a little bit longer than I thought it was going to go. So maybe I should have done 10 power words and not 20. But I'd love for you to be a student of mine if you're interested in doing this. I will teach you formal and informal conversational hypnosis, covert hypnosis. This is pretty covert hypnosis stuff here. And it's amazing just how when you use these words, these normal everyday words, you realize how powerful they really are. And so what I would do as you are learning how to do this stuff is I would simply pick one of these power words a day. This is how I did it. Pick one of these power words a day and just use it as many different times as you possibly can. And you'll just begin to notice that they become part of your normal and everyday vocabulary. All right, everybody. I hope that you enjoyed this, and I hope to see you soon. I'll see you later.